Christians should operate fully in the public square, and that includes by engaging with the media.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And one of the things that they can do is encourage reporters to report things accurately and truthfully. They can express their opinions in letters to the editor and op-eds. And one of the things that's important is to just let people in the world know of the differences of opinion that are out there, that Christians don't share a lot of the secular thinking that is promulgated by the media. And so being bold and being able to stand up and simply speak truth in the public square, it's a powerful witness to others, and it's a service you can perform for your community and the country at large.
You can meet and hear Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christians engaging the news media at our Fall Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Been thinking about those German elections. Germany is one of those places that people watch very carefully, I think, largely because of its significant place in the 20th century, negative place in the 20th century in both world wars. And some fear, there's actually even a headline that some ethnic minorities across the world fear that the recent parliamentary elections there in Germany signal reasons for concern. Is that true, especially with the rise of the Alternative for Germany party that is considered to be right-wing and in a lot of ways fiercely nationalistic? They've made it into the parliament and garner about 13% of the vote there. What does that mean for Germany and for us here in the U.S.? Joining us to discuss that subject and others, Dr. Uwe Simonetto, a native of Germany, former religion editor for United Press International, founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life, and author of the book, The Fabricated Luther, Refuting Nazi Connections and Modern Myths. He joins us from France. Uwe, welcome back.
Thank you.
How are the results of the recent parliamentary elections in Germany likely to affect directly or indirectly our listeners here in the United States?
I don't think there will be an immediate impact on your listener in the United States, although obviously, it is always troubling if there is a certain amount of turmoil, but that's whether there will be turmoil is something we have to discuss later in this program. I think, basically, you have the same chancellor. You will probably have a different foreign minister because I don't think the Social Democrats will be in a new coalition. At least they said they wouldn't be. And I'll tell you later why I think that is a good idea, not because I'm against the Social Democrats. I used to be a member of that party myself. I'm not now, but I was then. But it is always good to have a good opposition party. And so far, the two centrist parties formed a coalition, and that has made this not boring, but stagnant thing, you know, a complacent ally. So I don't think your friends over there, there'll be a lot of talk about Luther, by the way, but that we'll get to in a minute.
There have been some kind of developments politically in Germany that have led up to this. How would you describe the prelude to these elections and how they resulted in the numbers that we saw coming out in these parliamentary elections?
The prelude to these elections, there are several preludes. One is, we have to go back 27 years, the reunification of Germany, which is not completed, has not been completed, and which is why you have this hard right party as the most powerful party, the largest party now in Saxony, which is my home state, which used to be one of the most civilized states in Germany before World War II. Very troubling that there is, and the whole of Eastern Germany is either they have the first or the second place in the states over there. So that is one thing. The other thing is, the other failure, obviously, there is the refugee crisis. Although the latest polls indicated that this did not really affect most of the voters, which, of course, does not necessarily apply to the Eastern Germans. And very curiously enough, those xenophobic Alliance for Germany is strongest in states where there are the fewest, percentage-wise, the fewest migrants from the Middle East. So there is that. Then we mustn't forget that, and that is a very tricky thing here, we have moved on. We are now 70 years after the war, more than 70 years after the war, and a very much younger generation comes in, and some of the slogans of the Alliance for Germany resonate with people, even those people who are not who have not voted for them, but who might be Christian Democrats or Free Democrats or Social Democrats. And one of those things is, of course, that the Germans are sick and tired to have everything pegged to the Holocaust, because there's now a whole new, three generations almost, in fact, almost four generations, who could not be held responsible for the Holocaust because they weren't old enough. I mean, if you look at me, I was born 3 years after Hitler came to power, and I was 3 years old when the war started, and I was 8 years old when the war was over. Even my generation, which is really great-grandparents' generation now, I'm 80, will be 81 next month, will not find it difficult to forever reduce the history of my nation and my culture to the Holocaust. Now, there is a difference, and here that is something very significant in this. Obviously, people my generation and most people in Germany, except, of course, some of the more radical members of the AfD, will say, yes, we cannot exclude the Holocaust. We must not forget all these things that have happened in our name. And we have to pay for the sins of our great grandparents, all of which is true. But it should not be the one thing. That there's been more to our civilization, more to our 1,000-year history than the 12 years of the Nazi crimes. So that Alliance for Germany very much appeals to those sentiments, and you will see more of that. That people will say, "No, wait a minute! Must we always walk around with our heads between our knees because of this?" You see, that thing is will come to the forefront even more. So I think these are the most important. Then, of course, the other thing was because of the curious structure of Germany since the reunification. We now have six parties, but of these six parties, actually the two largest, were almost indistinguishable. And so people said, well, why would I have to listen to Angela Merkel or to Martin Schulz, Angela Merkel being a Christian Democrat, Martin Schulz a Social Democrat, if they actually sound alike? So there was also a sense of the desire for something new that played into this thing. You notice also that there is another party that has come back, that's one of the traditional partners, the traditional partner of the Christian Democrats, is the Free Democrats. These are the liberals, not to be confused with American liberals. Your liberals are left of center people. Our liberals are free enterprise people. It's a totally different deal. We are more closely related to the Manchester liberals in England. So the liberals are there, and they made a rather significant comeback with more than 9% of the votes, and they'll be in, probably going to be in the next government again. And then, of course, the Greens, who haven't done all that well, they are also hovering around 9%. They will also probably be in the next coalition. But the main issue really is that it was very, very unhealthy to have for such a long time the two leading parties, which should be, or one of which should always be recovering in the opposition, have been united in one coalition, which left the former communists, East German communists, as the leading opposition party in parliament, and that was unhealthy too.
So how did the numbers actually come out for the respective parties in the German parliament?
Well, the numbers, if I get this correct now, the numbers were about 33% for the Christian Democrats. They expected almost 40%, so it's a huge drop. It's quite disgusting. The Social Democrats, who used to be almost on a par at some point with the Christian Democrats, are down to 20.8%. That is a disaster for them. Now, the AfD, that's the new party that hadn't even existed 6 years ago, was only founded 5 years ago, is up to 13.2. So they would now be the leading opposition party if the CDU, the Christian Democrats, and the Social Democrats decided to form a coalition, which is why the Social Democrats say, no, we're not going to do that anymore, and why most of us, including I, hope that will not continue. It's very, very toxic, this. Then you have next the Free Democrats. These are the Manchester liberal types who didn't make it to the last parliament. You have to have at least 5% of the votes in order to get into parliament. They're now at 9.9, almost 10%. That is quite a spectacular gain. And then you have the Green Party, with 9.4%, they have lost a considerable amount of votes. And then there are the Linke, Die Linke, the left-wing party, which is the former communists. In East Germany, in Eastern Germany, and I'd like to, if we can discuss this a little more, whenever you're ready for it, in Eastern Germany, the AfD has become the second largest party, and in Saxony, as I said, the largest party with almost 30%, which is very troubling for Saxony.
So talk about that in a little more detail. Why this political shift in Eastern Germany, in particular in Saxony, why does that trouble you?
Well, it troubles me because it indicates to me that seen together with the still rather unpleasant strength of the ex-communists or former communists in Eastern Germany at about 16%, because it indicates that after having spent up to $3 trillion into the Eastern German infrastructure, Eastern Germany is a flourishing country now, Germany has not been reunited. The understanding, the international spirit, the pro-European spirit, which all of us in the West, who were brought up in the West, sort of relished and worked for, including I. I mean, I'm married to an English woman, and that's what we wanted. We wanted never to, we have experienced that war. We never wanted to go through this again. That has not resonated with them. That the other thing is, you do not build a society, or at least I don't believe one should, you do not build a party on resentment and on prejudice, on bias, which is what the AfD are doing. We found actually that Germany has fared extremely well since the war, talking about Western Germany now in particular, by overcoming this whole thing. That is that I find very troubling. And now there's something else again. You see, when Germany was reunited, which was the result of a peaceful revolution, in which the church, and particularly the Lutheran Church, played a major role. They provided the roof under which the coalition could fall, under which a revolution could form it. They could express themselves. They admonished, in a very Lutheran sense, the protesters to peaceful resistance as opposed to violence. All this helped. And then the churches, small though they were, then they actually lent their pastors to the kingdom to the left. In other words, because there were not enough qualified non-communist civil servants and politicians in Eastern Germany, pastors, some very, very fine pastors, handed in temporarily their ordination papers to their bishops and said, okay, we are now working in this to get this thing straightened out, the reunification policy. With much success on that level, they did a splendid job. But what happened as a result of this culture, that second-rate left-wing theologians moved in great numbers from the West and infiltrated the Eastern German churches, which were faithful churches, and they weren't prepared for all this. The same thing happened in academia in Eastern Germany, and it's happened in many other fields, that Western German leftists joined forces in many ways with the remaining communists. Very troubling. So, I mean, then there was another thing. You had... When I grew up, when I lived in Eastern Germany, all the classes that supported the church, starting with the nobility, with the high bourgeoisie, with the master craftsmen, that since the Middle Ages ran the cities of all these people, were either killed, driven out, sent to concentration camps, sent into prison, were expropriated. So what was left was a proletariat without any grounding. And that was not just a grounding in a family tradition, which all of us had, but also religious grounding, faithful grounding. Only the churches, only pastors actually, stayed behind off the old elites, in order, because shepherds do not leave their flocks. So they stayed behind, which is why they were so important in bringing about the reunification of Germany and the end of the communist regime. And that has not been replaced yet. There's a lot of very, very good West German people move back into Eastern Germany, become very successful in some places like Leipzig. They are filling the churches, but again, the churches were no longer the field gospel is preached, but where a lot of political rhetoric is being pronounced from Lutheran pulpits. And so what you now have is the proletariat staying behind, being disconnected from, first of all, from the people who came in, the new people who came in, they didn't know how to handle them. They didn't have enough good religious instruction. They didn't impart the values on them. Catechism classes, which are compulsory. I mean, the religion courses are compulsory in Germany as long as you're a member of the church. But they only go to these things because they're less boring than non-religious ethics, which would be the alternative. There is a lot of stuff that has gone wrong because they thought, now that Germany is reunified, now that we pumped a lot of money into this whole thing, what do we have to worry about? Now we do have to worry about it because Western and Eastern Germany are essentially, as the election results show, deeply divided. And that's another thing. Nobody will tell you that the AfD is primarily implanted in Eastern Germany. Of course, they got votes in West Germany as well. But not anywhere near these huge numbers. But political correctness, you don't say this, you don't want to offend anybody. But it is a fact. I mean, you can read it by the numbers.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're speaking with him from France about Germany's parliamentary election. What will it mean for Angela Merkel? We'll answer that question after this. Is being a member of a church just about tithing and having your name on the roster? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Connected to Christ costs $5.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Connected to Christ, 1-800-325-3040.
Located 10 minutes north of Worcester in the heart of liberal Massachusetts, Trinity Lutheran Church in Clinton is a solid, orthodox, confessional, liturgical outpost of the Missouri Synod, where God's word is not changed to agree with the latest social trend. No megachurch fog here, just the law and gospel, every Sunday at 10 a.m. Come join us and check us out at trinitylutheranclintonma.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to our 24/7 talk and music stations using Amazon Echo? All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutheran Public Radio.
Or, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio.
Lutheran Talk Radio.
Own thing, you know, there's this recognition that unrighteous mammon.
Lutheran music, Lutheran talk, anytime, day or night, on Amazon Echo.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. Starting October 1st, this twofold mission becomes even more pronounced. During October, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, the Concordia Historical Institute. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Germany's parliamentary elections. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. He's a native of Germany and author of the book, The Fabricated Luther, Refuting Nazi Connections and Modern Myths. You can find out more about this book right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and order The Fabricated Luther by Dr. Uwe Simonetto, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Uwe, what are the elections going to mean for Chancellor Angela Merkel? I take it that a coalition might be more difficult for her to form at this point. She sounds like she's certainly not going to attempt any coalition with the ADF, that nationalistic party.
No, that would be catastrophic. She could not form a... We have to talk a little about the AfD in a second, because we don't know what will happen to the AfD later. They might collapse, they might split up, and there are already signs of schisms within that party. But it would be absolutely catastrophic if she formed any alliance with the AfD. Nobody would in Germany, even I, and I'm a good old conservative, would countenance that, because there is too many very, very strange characters in that party that first have to be weeded out, which they will be eventually through the parliamentary process, because in parliament you have to behave like parliamentarians. You don't behave like rowdies in parliament, not in a German parliament at least. Now, what does it mean for Angela Merkel? For Angela Merkel, I think she will, most people think she will succeed in forming a decent coalition. The Free Democrats are not going to be a problem. They are very allied to the Christian Democrats, are historically the allies of the Christian Democrats. the Greens are problematic because they have a strong left wing. They also have not a right wing, but a sort of moderate wing, led, strangely enough, by a politician of Turkish descent, Sem Özdemir is his name. He's a very pleasant character. And then you have solid conservatives like the current premier of Baden-Württemberg state, Kretschmann, who is a practicing Catholic and who is an ecologist, but he is not a raving lunatic who somehow finds it amusing to protect chickens coming out of green eggs, but are all in favor of midterm abortions, as some of these Greens do. He does not belong to that. But I think Angela Merkel will wind up forming a strong coalition by Christmas, as she said. We hope, or at least I hope, that she will succeed in that, because it is high, as I said, it's high time that one opposition party really readies itself for a takeover, as you used to in America when you had, you know, there was a smooth takeover in the old days from change of government from administration from conservatives from Republicans to Democrats to Republicans again. It used to be like that, but it is not anymore because they are identical almost. And somehow they have to show, each of these parties have to develop a much stronger individual profile and not just sound like porridge, you know, or something like that, you know.
Then what do you think is motivating the support for the AfD and motivating an increase in that political support for the party?
Well, what is motivating them, as I said at the beginning, there are many things that are motivating support. One is, of course, the refugee crisis, but this is, strangely enough, not the principal issue anymore. The other thing is that there is, at least as far as Western Germans are concerned, there is a need for a conservative or right-of-center party. It's very unhealthy not to have it, as it would be very unhealthy not to have a strong left-of-center or a leftist party. These tendencies exist in every democratic society, including in Germany. So there is that. Then you have your loonies, and they are now, because we are 70 years after the war, they are articulating themselves. They take the liberty of articulating themselves on the right as much as on the left. You have that in America too, and you certainly have it in France and in Britain. And you have the loonies. Then, as I said, the other support is other reason as well. People thought, well, Merkel is going to win anyway, so why not give her give the AfD a shot to spice up the whole thing? There is something along those lines as well, to spice up the political scene in Germany. Very important issue. Then there is big resentment. There is a split society. There is big resentment that drives people to the extremes of the left and the right. The gap between the rich and the poor is widening. And it's very, very strange that in many, many ways the extreme right, AfD, and the extreme left sound very similar. So it's resentment, it's a ferment that you experience, and it is by no means, you cannot predict at this point where this is going to lead. This is not going to be another, unless we have a catastrophe in Germany or in the world, it's not going to be another Nazi movement or something like that. It is a hard line, right of center party, which unfortunately is, or maybe not unfortunately, which happens to be very rowdy, because they're not pleasant to listen to. Although sometimes some of them are very pleasant to look at, and you know, strangely enough, the current leadership, I mean, you have two ex-Christian Democrats, Gowland, who looks like a British member of the British landed gentry, stalks about in his tweeds, and then there's a woman who has a PhD in economics and was a Goldman Sachs lady, a very successful one, happens to be a declared lesbian, but at the same time supports family values. And then you have on the eastern side, you have a very hardline leader who really sounds very often like a neo-Nazi. And you have the founder of the party, Frauke Petry, a chemist with a PhD, a former wife of a pastor, who is now splitting. And you have that as well, as with all these new phenomena in the political spectrum in Europe, you immediately split up. She has split over. She said, yeah, she has been elected into parliament, but she's not going to sit with the AfD, which is very, very similar, by the way, to what we have here in France, where I'm currently sitting, where the deputy leader of the National Front has broken away from the National Front, which, of course, is the beginning of the end, might be the beginning of the end of the National Front. It's very difficult to explain this to Americans, but if you live in, because the situation in America is often so different and the parameters are so different, but it's not really even correct to call about these populist parties. They're absorbing, they are sort of like sponges. They absorb resentment and they do all sorts of things. But a populist party is something else again. I mean, you might call the champions populist. Again, you couldn't compare what is happening in Germany with the Trump phenomenon in the United States.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a native of Germany, a former religion editor for United Press International, founder and emeritus director for the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life, and author of the book, The Fabricated Luther, Refuting Nazi Connections and Modern Myths. He joined us from France. Uwe, thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the vocation of singleness with Kelly Schumacher. What is missing from much of Christian conversation about singleness? It certainly is a vocation. Is it portrayed as a gift, especially with respect to its comparison to marriage? We'll answer that question with Kelly Schumacher of Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts, and we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Elijah taken to heaven in 2 Kings 2. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I believe in God the Father Almighty. Millions confess the great creeds of the Church each week. But why? Learn more about Christian creeds and Lutheran confessions this month in The Lutheran Witness. Get 6 issues of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's premier magazine for only $6.99 when you visit cph.org/trilutheranwitness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trilutheranwitness.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.